and go over to the book of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet one more time. I know you just got set down, but we're going to reverence in that and reading God's Word. Two-thirds of this chapter, Jesus is dealing with a man by the name of Nicodemus. Now, the last third, if you let me put it that way, John is dealing with his disciples, and that and his ministry over there. Now, we sometimes use that and we spiritualize it where John said in verse 30 that he must increase, but I must decrease. And really, that's what has to happen in our life. If he's going to increase, we must decrease. And his disciples was asking John about Jesus. You know, he's baptizing. He's making disciples of his own. And John's telling him, said, look, I told you I was not the Christ. He said, I've just come before the Christ. And he said, he's got to increase and I've got to decrease. In other words, John's saying, my ministry's got to go away for Jesus is to come about. And that's what he done. But I don't want to look at that this morning. I want to look at Nicodemus over here and look at some things that the Lord told Nicodemus. But I want to look in John chapter 3 and begin to read in verse 14. The Bible says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We love you. We thank you again for this day that you've given us. And Lord, I know folk in here that some of them are tired. Some of them are just happy to be in the house of God. Some've got problems and trouble. And Lord, there's many other things. But this morning, I pray for just a little while that each of us could have our minds focused and that upon the Word of God. I pray as we begin to preach that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh. I pray that you'd help us. I don't say that, Lord, with just to say it, but I say it because I need your help this morning, and I know that. And Lord, these people sitting down here, they need your help. And Lord, I pray they'd find it in you today. If there's one here that's lost, and maybe it's a young man, a young lady, maybe a man or woman, boy or girl, that just needs to get saved, I pray they'd get saved today. Lord, might we be able to point to Calvary for just a little while, and Lord, might we learn from your word. Save that sinner's nearest hell, and touch us and anoint us afresh. For this in Jesus' name, we do ask and pray, amen and amen. As we look back at the beginning of the chapter, as Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews, and the Lord even calls him a master in Israel there at one time, and he comes to the Lord, and he tells the Lord over there, he says, we know that you're sent from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And I love what Jesus answered him in verse 3 and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You realize that the Lord didn't even really acknowledge what Nicodemus had to say. He comes to him, he says, we know you're from God because nobody could do these miracles. And Jesus automatically says, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to come to trust Christ. And as he talks about being born again, birthed into the family of God, Nicodemus did not understand that. And he says, can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born again? And the Lord says over here, he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot be enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. And so the way that you're going to get to heaven this morning is you must be born again. Out there says, I look across the whole house, I would assume, and probably assume that a lot of folk, if not everybody, is probably saved this morning. But I would tell you this, if you're not saved, you must be born again. If you're going to get to heaven, you've got to come and be birthed into the family of God. Trust Christ as your Savior. And listen, He will get you into heaven. But you cannot get to heaven without Christ this morning. Amen. That's the only way that you're going to get saved. He talks about the Spirit in verse 8. He talks about the wind over there. He says, the wind blows where it lifts us, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou cannot tell where whence it cometh and where it goeth. You can't see the wind, but you can hear the wind. You can see the effects of the wind. I reach out there and try to get you some of the wind sometimes. It's impossible to do. But friend, you can see the effects and feel the effects of the Spirit. And listen, that's why I got saved the night that I got saved. I felt the effects of the Spirit, the convicting power. But ain't you glad there was a converting power that comes with that, and the comforting power that comes with the Holy Spirit. Hey, some of you in here, I know that you would not have made it through life had the Holy Spirit not come by when He did and comforted you just like He does. Amen. So as Jesus comes over and we get over to verse 14, He deals with some things that Nicodemus would know. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He understood, Jesus knew that He would understand, as He began to talk about that serpent that Moses had made and put upon a pole for the children of Israel to look at, He knew that Nicodemus should understand that. You'll take your Bible this morning and go to the book of Numbers chapter 21. That's really what I want to preach on this morning. I want to look at the similarities or the type of this brazen serpent. Numbers chapter 21, I simply want to preach this morning. If I did have a title, it would be that the Son of Man be lifted up. As we look in Numbers chapter 21, I begin to read that didn't read right. I was in the book of Leviticus. It'll never read right if you ain't in the right book, man. I got to looking at that and I thought, man, I've messed it up again. Numbers, and I even had a Bible marker there. Ain't that something? Numbers chapter 21, and look in verse 1. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelled in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now there's a good message right there in that verse. Being discouraged because of the way. There's a lot of people get discouraged. Hey, if this has not been a discouraging year, I don't know what would have been. Amen. I mean, this has been a discouraging year. I mean, folk have been sick. I mean, it's been discouraging all over, from the political arena to the physical arena. It's been a very discouraging and downtrodden year, so it seems, don't it? Amen. Listen, have you not been discouraged this year, wondering when things was going to get back to normal, wondering when we could go do what we want to do, and without having to wear a mask or not wear a mask or whatever you want to do it, how you want to do it? I mean, it's just been very discouraging. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes in your Christian life, the way is discouraging, even in serving the Lord. Did you know that? When you don't see God move, or God don't work like you thought He was going to work, and do things like you hope that He might do, listen, it becomes very discouraging sometimes. And so the way is discouraging. Now listen, they have done what? They have whipped the enemy and the perverses. The enemy come and they got those and that and took them prisoner. And Israel said, Lord, if you'll let us go down there and beat them, I said, and destroy them, we will destroy them and get them back. And so that's what God allowed them to do. But it wasn't too far into their journey that, and you know, again, Moses had to deal with this all the time. Moses had to deal with people being discouraged and being downhearted and downtrodden all the time. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Now verse 5, here's what they said. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. For our soul loatheth this white bread. That manna that fell from heaven. That manna that looked like a coriander seed and that was called angel's food, had a drop of honey on it, that God gave them every day, that they didn't have to work for it, they didn't have to till the ground for it, all they had to do is go get it and eat it. That's it. I think that's a pretty good deal, don't you? Amen. Here they are. They come out in the wilderness. They've not believed God. They probably wasn't but 8 or 10 days, if that far away from going into the land of Canaan. God had already paved the way for them to go in. They said, we can't go. God said, okay, I don't go, but you'll not get there. He let them wander around in the wilderness and still took care of them the whole time. If you go back and you read, not only did he feed them with angels' food, their shoes never got small on their feet nor wore out. Their clothes in 40 years never wore out. They never had to go to the department store to buy a new coat and have to wear. God made it so they wouldn't wear out. Ain't that something this morning? Everything we've got wears out. And wears out fast too, so it seems. But they spake against God and they spoke against Moses and said they come out and God had supplied for them and took care of them and said, we loathe this light bread. And God had enough. And in verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and they bit the people and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Well, you know, when the Bible said that Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth, wasn't that true? They spake against Moses and spake against God. And then they come back and said, pray for us. And he'd do it. Moses had a bigger heart than I probably would have. And Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. And set upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now that's the story that the Lord was referring to when he was talking to Nicodemus over here about his salvation in verse 14. And he said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus said over in the book of John chapter 12, I believe it was, at one point about him being lifted up. And he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And the next verse, I believe it said he spake of what death he was going to die. I want to look at three things and the similarities of Jesus being lifted up that we find with this brazen serpent. First of all, we find the production of the brazen serpent was because they had sinned. Is that not what they said over here? They come to Moses and they said, we have what? We have sinned, or we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Said, go pray for us, Moses. And when he went to pray, God said, make a fiery serpent out of brass and put it upon a pole. Do you realize it was for sin that he made that brazen serpent, but it was for sin that Jesus went to Calvary. You ever think about the pain of sin that it has in our life? Can you imagine them? I'm surprised I didn't dream about snakes last night. I looked and studied on snakes, and there yesterday evening, I looked about them things and how dangerous they could be, but notice the Bible in the book of Numbers, I called them a fiery serpent. Can you imagine that when they bit you, no doubt it felt like fire. Now, I don't know if them things injected fire. I don't know why they called them fiery serpents. But I believe that when they bit you, it felt like fire going into your body. The Lord just didn't let them bite them. He let them bite them. And there was pain involved because of their sin. Can I tell you today that sin always causes pain, don't it? There's always a pain to sin. You have to understand that this morning. The Bible talks about that sin has a pleasure to it for just a little while in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But after that season comes that pain. The Bible said in Psalms 107, listen, it said, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. What? Because of their iniquities and their transgression. Pain comes. You know, the Bible talks about it another time in the book of Proverbs chapter 13 that the ways of transgressors are hard. It's hard to be a sinner, ain't it? Let me ask you something. Somebody asked this question the other day. I seen it in somewhere. I seen it. Not serving God is hard, right? Let me see if I can get this right. If I can get it in my mind, you ever got it to where you can get it in your mind, but you can't get it out? If serving God is hard and not serving God is hard, which hard do you want? I would rather serve God than it be hard, because I know He's on my side. But the way of a transgressor is hard because God's against him at that point. If you're saved this morning, that's one thing. But I'm going to tell you something. It don't change, listen, who you are in Christ. But friend, I'm going to tell you, it'll change what Christ will do to you if you want to go off out into sin. But for the sinner, for the lost man, woman, boy, or girl, the way of a transgressor is hard. Romans chapter 3 talks about the wicked over there. And by the way, if you're unsaved this morning, you're wicked before God. You've not... No, you are, friend. That's just the way it is. Listen to me now. But Romans 3 says destruction and misery are in their ways. I'm talking about pain that sin brings. Sin always brings pain. Whether you're saved or unsaved, sin always brings pain. To the saved, go back and talk to King David. Brings pain. After he committed his sin of adultery with Bathsheba, he had Uriah killed. We know that the baby died. Ammon raped Tamar. Absalom killed Ammon. Absalom ran David off the throne. And Joab ended up killing Absalom before it's all over with. For a man that had never had problems in his home, when he committed that sin, he opened the door for the pain of sin to come in. Let me say, if that is the place that you're in, Christ died for that so that you don't have to struggle with that. You need to give that to Him. But the lost are out there today in the same shape, but not knowing how to fix it. That's the thing about saved people. We know what to do when we get in sin. Get out of it. Fix it with God. You know, He said, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. You know what I find myself praying a lot of times? Lord, just help me live for you. Now, and He will. But you know, it's up to us if we want to live for Him. You know, it's like we want to put it in God's court sometimes that we don't live for Him. It ain't God's fault if we don't live for Him. Boy, this message is going in a whole different direction. It's not God's fault if we don't live for Him. It's our fault. The Bible gave us a great promise there. He said, if you'll draw nigh to me, notice whose ball that's the court's in there. We've got to draw nigh to Him first, and then He'll draw nigh to us. He's not going to want to mess with us if we're in sin. He's not going to be around us if we're in sin. But those that are lost this morning, there is a pain that comes with sin. They don't understand that or know that until it's already too late most of the time. till it's already captured them and got them and they're in place. See, we know better, don't we? We know better. You've been taught better. If you've been at this church any time at all, of any bit of your life, I've preached, Sunday school teachers have taught what sin's going to cause in your life. You'll be without excuse. I know that. Not only is there a pain to sin, but then there is a penalty of sin. Just as that snake bit them, as that serpent bit them, and there was a fiery serpent, and no doubt it hurt them when it bit them, but then it killed them. And that's the thing about sin. Sin left untreated is going to kill you. The Bible said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. We understand that. We know that the wages of sin is death. Genesis chapter 2, as the Lord's got Adam and Eve, or got Adam out there, He says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. It's going to bring death. Sin brings death. You know why we die? You know why we physically die? We're in a sinful body, ain't we? Going to die. You read over in Genesis chapter 3, Satan comes to her in the form of a serpent and says, yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden. And she says, yeah, that's what He said. And she goes on to say that in the day that we eat thereof, we're going to die. And He said, thou shalt not surely die. You know, the devil always lies about sin, don't he? There's that pleasure that comes in it, but he never tells about the pain that's going to happen because of it. And he never tells about the penalty that comes with sin. As a matter of fact, he lies about that. You think if people knew that they got drunk and got out here on the road and drove and they knew they were going to die, do you think they would do that? Do you think that if they knew they would get out and kill somebody else and spend the rest of their life in prison for just one day of drink, would they do that? Most people wouldn't do that. But yet he lies about it. But the penalty of sin is death. Ezekiel chapter 18 said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So the soul that sins. You know, when you got saved, you know, your soul's perfect. You realize that, don't you? When you got saved, you got sealed. That thing was made perfect in Christ Jesus the Lord. I don't understand all that, but I believe it and I know it, but I don't understand how it works other than the fact He done it. So for the unsaved, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We see the production of the brazen serpent. Moses had to make it because they had sinned. Jesus had to come because we were sinners. You realize that, right? Jesus came for you. And Jesus came for me so that we could get saved. Let me ask you this morning. How much does that ring true in our life? I mean, how much do we remember that? You know, every day that we get up, and I don't do it, and I should, but every day that I get up, and He lets you draw His air, and look at His sunshine, and feel the radiant heat up on it, you are to thank God that He sent His beloved Son, and He died for us so that we could get saved. Lord, I'm just glad to be saved. And we wake up some mornings, I don't even feel saved. I'm telling you, sometimes we're just a mess, ain't we? But then look, number two, at the plan that was brought. Notice the plan of the brazen serpent was because they had sinned, He said, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Do you realize that the same is with Christ Jesus the Lord? That fiery serpent was sent for a judgment for sin. Those serpents that were slithering on the ground, they were sent to judge sin. You realize that Christ Jesus the Lord is the judgment for sin. What do you mean? His Word. If you go over and look at John chapter 12, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. I the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Revelation chapter 20. The great white throne judgment. Christ Jesus the Lord is sitting over there and He's going to judge men and women for the rejection of Him. But as that fiery serpent bit them and caused the pain and brought the penalty of their sin, the Lord told Moses, He said, "You make a serpent out of brass and put it upon a pole." So He had to fashion that thing. He had to work that thing. He had to heat that thing to work that brazen serpent. So when they took Jesus and put Him up at Calvary, they had to heat Him and work Him, and they judged Him. But more than that, Christ Jesus the Lord was judged for our sins at Calvary. When He was lifted up, just as sure as you realize the same thing that was biting Him was the same thing that they were looking at. Except, see, the thing now is man has to look at Him now at Calvary, or he's going to see Him one day as the penalty of sin. You follow what I'm saying today? At Calvary, just as sure as Moses lifted up the serpent up in the air that day, Jesus had to be lifted up for mine and your sins. He took mine and yours place at Calvary. The plan of the brazen serpent. Listen, do you realize that there was no work involved in that? I'm getting ahead of myself. There was, what I mean, no work. They didn't have to do anything. All they had to do, if they were bit, was turn and look at that brazen serpent. That's it. That's all they had to do. They didn't have to go to it. They didn't have to bow down before it. They didn't have to do that. All they had to do was turn, look at it, and they can live. You realize that salvation is that simple. All a man, woman, boy, or girl has to do is look to Jesus and come to Him and say, "All I want to do is get saved, and He'll save you." That's it. Man just has to realize that they're a sinner needing to be saved. Believe that He lived and died and rose again for you, and He will save you. That same one, listen, what did He say over there at one point when He was talking about the rock over there? He said, if you fall upon Him, it'll break you. But if you wait until He falls upon you, He'll grind you into powder. You know, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. What did He say in John 3:17? For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. See, man, according to what He said in verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Man in his sin is already condemned, and the only hope that we had was to look to Christ. Just as sure as all the hope they had was, notice what they asked. Do you realize what they asked Moses over there? Do you realize what they said? Go back here and said, pray that He take away the serpents from us. Wasn't worried about fixing those that had already been bit. They said, just take away the serpents from us. You know, He not only took the serpents away, but He made a way for them so that they could be healed from that plague of sin, didn't He? All they wanted to do was get rid of the penalty. You know, it's like folk today. They just want to get rid of the penalty and get rid of the pain of it all and still want to go on and do their same thing. But you know, here they said, just get rid of them snakes. But you know, the Lord even done something greater for them. He gave them a way to have life, didn't He? Because see, it was sure death if that snake bit them. It was going to kill them. But you know, the Lord Jesus, He done the same thing for us. I mean, listen, He was not only our payment and the cure for sin, but He brought life to us in the midst of death. We were dying. I think we forget that sometimes. I forget that. I was dying and going to hell and needed a Savior. I was dying. Reckon how they sent the word out. You ever think about this? Reckon how they sent the word out. Somebody had to tell somebody else, and somebody had to tell somebody else, if you get bit by that snake, listen, all you have to do is turn around and look. It's right up there. If you'll look to that brazen serpent on the pole, you'll be healed. Somebody had to tell it. Shouldn't we be telling the same thing about the Lord Jesus Christ? If you'll look and live, if you'll come to Him, Calvary, boy, for what He done, I know He ain't there, but boy, He did bleed and die there. He did give His life there. They did lift Him up in open naked shame above the earth. Listen, and it was because of His death that we're able to live this morning. What was it that He told Martha over there? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this, He said. The plan for the brazen serpent was not only to take care of the penalty and the pain, but it was to give them life so that they could live. You know, the great thing about it is we'll never die. We'll die physically except in the rapture. And still even in that, we've got to give up this body. Ain't you glad you ain't going to heaven in this thing? Oh man, I'm tickled. Death ain't going to heaven in this thing. I don't want to go to heaven in this thing. I'll be glad to get a new body one day after a while. I ain't even got near the health problems that some people's got. And I'm ready for a new body. I can imagine if you're sick. I can imagine if you've got ailments that just continue. My dad says, son, it's not waking up in the morning and wondering if you're going to hurt. It's just waking up in the morning and wondering where you're going to hurt. And their health is good. I imagine for people that's in the nursing home, folks that's had strokes. You know, there's some people that still are in their right mind, but their body just will not do what they want it to do. There's still people in their right mind, and they hurt in their body. I remember when I was a young man, people would have, they'd talk about back problems. And I thought, man, I've got back problems. Yeah, I had back problems till the day I've been over. And we were going to flip. You know, when I used to work at the hot tub factory over here in Etowah, I reached down to get one. Never laid hands on it. Just bent over to get it. Never physically put my hands on it, and I couldn't raise back up. And I couldn't make that thing quit hurting. I mean, it didn't matter what I done, how I twisted, how I laid. I was on the floor at one point. I was on the couch. I was twisting around. I couldn't make it quit. You know, there's times that as we get older, and maybe even younger, that you can't make your body quit hurting. No matter how hard you try. I got sidetracked, but listen. Listen, I'm glad I'm not going in this body. I'm glad I'm going to get a new body. But as He lifted up that brazen serpent, that brazen fiery serpent, and they all looked to it, they looked and they lived. You remember the night or the day that you looked to Christ Jesus and became alive? You remember that? You got born again and birthed into the family of God. You remember that? Well, if you don't have that time, listen, you need to get saved this morning. You need to get saved. You come to number three. The performance of that brazen serpent was the very fact that it done the job. It done the job. There was nothing they could do to help theirself. That brazen serpent done the job. That's the same with Christ Jesus the Lord. We can't do the job. We can't do the work. We can't save ourselves. We can't keep ourselves. We can't give ourselves life. We're dying in this body. And without Him, we're going to die and go to hell. But listen, when you get saved, it all changes. He's the one that pleased the Father. You realize that was God's idea to make that brazen serpent. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Go look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look in verse 18. After he talks about living holy and being holy. By the way, we ought to be holy. Or live holy. Look in verse 18. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Ain't that just wonderful this morning? But look in verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God had a plan before He ever spoke this world into existence. The Bible said, talking about Christ Jesus the Lord, to come and shed His blood and give Himself for us, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. I believe it just like it says. I believe before God ever founded this thing, He already knew that man was going to foul it up. He already knew that man was going to sin. And He already knew that His Son was going to have to come. From the time that He killed animals over there in the Garden of Eden to cover Adam and Eve, all the way down to the very last lamb that was slain that night for Passover, every one of them pointed to Calvary. See, we can go back and we can look at it and we can see it now. And all the blood of bulls and of goats and of calves and of sheep and of lambs could not take away man's sin. It covered man's sin and pushed it from year to year. And God just kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And all in the same time, He was grabbing our sin and pulling it back. He was pushing sin and pulling sin at the same time. And He brought it all to Calvary. Because the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, and He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. My sin, your sin. My sin before I was saved, He laid on Him. My sin after I got saved, He laid on Him. He paid for it all. He took care of it all. All sin. It's took care of. He paid for it. You know, you say, why would that brazen serpent satisfy God? I have no idea. I wish that I could give you some theological reason. As a matter of fact, the children of Israel later on, is it in the book of 2 Kings over there, took that brazen serpent and named it Nushatan, and they were worshiping the brazen serpent. Was it King Josiah? One of them kings. It might have been King, I can't remember now. Took that brazen serpent and stomped it up and ground it into powder and threw it over there in the creek, basically. I don't know why God said, you know, God can do whatever He wanted to, how He wanted to. But He chose for Moses to make a brazen serpent. They had to turn and they had to look at the very thing that bit them. You know, for you to get saved, you've got to turn and look at the very one that died for you and gave Himself for you. You know, if you go back to the book of Isaiah chapter 53, let's go over there and look. And look at what the writer said real quick about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, who hath believed our report, and whom is the arm of the Lord, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And I mean no disrespect to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they did not want Him. They did not want to look upon Him. But then the Bible went on to say, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. So as they took Christ in his performance, they took him, the Jews tried him, and found him guilty of blasphemy. And by the time they got done, they had him hung up at Calvary. But the thing about it was it was not his sin that hung him there, but it was my sin and your sin. Why God chose that way, I'll never know, but that's the way he chose. As we close, we find there's something about Jesus. As he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Nicodemus understood them serpents was biting and killing them over there in the Old Testament. He understood that. But Jesus said, just as sure, as sin's going to kill you, he said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You realize that Jesus, the Son of God, is the one who judges, but it was Jesus, the Son of Man, is the one who came. That fiery serpent bit them, but yet that brazen serpent could save them. And so we come to the probably all Scripture's great, but probably to the greatest verse in the Bible that tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just as sure as them Israelites had to look to that brazen serpent, today man's got to look to Calvary and look to Jesus. I hope you've looked to him today. If you've never been saved, you're going to have to look to him and ask him to save you. Let's bow our heads across the house today if we would.